Today is Reformation Sunday. And so I have a Reformation quiz for you. Who is the most academic? Who was the most academic reformer?
John Calvin.
Martin Luther, because he submitted more than one thesis. 95. Which reformer had a sweet tooth? John Calvin, because he had a Swiss roll in the Reformation. That's really bad. Why do Roman Catholic chapels smell nicer than Reformed Protestant churches? Because they are filled with potpourri. And the biggest groaner yet, it's just a comment. Most reformers ring doorbells, but John Knox. Knox United. Okay. All right. Pardon? Yeah. I don't know. Zwingli. Today is Reformation Sunday, the day we honor the courage of a German priest who 501 years ago on October 31st, Halloween, before it was Halloween, serving as a priest and witnessing the abuse of power by the church, went to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, and nailed a list of 75 statements about what was wrong with the church and calling for the need for it to reform itself. He criticized the church for priests exacting money from people in order for them to feel that God had forgiven them their sins. So he criticized indulgences. It's how the church made money. Come confess your sins, pay the church so much money and you'll be forgiven. He criticized the church for holding services only in Latin so that people who weren't priests and hadn't studied Latin could know what the Bible said. And he spent his life translating the Bible into German so that people could read the Bible in their own language, giving people the power of the word. Then from there it was translated into French and English. And once people could read the Bible for themselves and had printing presses to distribute the Bible, the world discovered the transforming power of the word. And it led to all sorts of reformation. It led to the liberation of the people, and the church began to reform. It led to Martin Luther being declared a heretic by those in power in the church, on the run in fear for his life, and a reformation of the church throughout Europe that split the church in two: those who supported the status quo of the Roman Catholic Church and those who supported the need to reform it, the Protestant churches. The Reformation led to the rise of the Lutheran Church in Germany after Martin Luther, the rise of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland under John Knox, the Anglican Church in England under Wycliffe, the Dutch Reformed Church in the Netherlands. The Reformation in many ways gave rise to this United Church of Canada in 1925, with a union of Methodists, Congregationalists, and two-thirds of the Presbyterian churches emerging out of that need to reform itself, the belief that the church needs to always be open to reforming itself to meet the needs of the world in its own time and its own place. You and I are part of that reforming tradition. The belief that the church needs to be continually reforming itself in response to the world around it. And today, the whole Christian church needs another major reformation. We are no longer seen as relevant, as effective, as essential to the social fabric of our society. We are seen as judgmental, as contributing to discrimination, as backward, as responsible for atrocities such as the Inquisition and pogroms and anti-Semitism that raged in Europe and created the Holocaust. We are seen as dividers, not unifiers. But we recognize today, living in the first pains of the 21st century, that not only the church is in need of reformation, our whole world is in need of reformation. Margaret Wheatley, who was born to a Jewish father and an English mother, went to Korea and studied and taught English as a second language in Korea, became a professor, worked in the whole education film arena, said that we are living in a time when we are witnessing the disintegration of civilization. I want to say that again. We're living in a time when we are witnessing the disintegration of civilization. A world in which a journalist who criticized his own Saudi Arabian government can walk into a Turkish embassy applying for a marriage license to marry the love of his life and end up being murdered. A world in which people go to prayers yesterday in Pittsburgh, celebrating the birth of a child in their midst, and are murdered by a man full of hatred because they are Jewish. A world in which thousands of people are having to flee their homelands because of violence and conflict. A world that is more concerned with using the resources to make money, to make the rich richer, than we are in stewarding and protecting. A world in which the gap between the rich and the poor in our own country is becoming so wide that not only those suffering from addiction and mental health are living on the streets, but that hot lunches in schools have to be provided because our children don't have enough to eat. And those who are widowed or living on a single income are losing their homes and taking to the streets. A world that has lost its compassion for one another. We are living in desperate times. So how do we respond? We turn to the Word of God, a word of hope, a word of love, a word of compassion, a word of encouragement, a word of love, a word that reminds us of who we are and whose we are and what we were put on the earth to do, to love one another. This word has the power, if we allow it to transform our lives, to transform lives one life at a time. But in order to do that, we need to take the time to listen to it, to let it become a part of who we are, to digest it, to chew on it, to let our hearts be changed by it. And when a heart is reformed for love, when a heart is reprogrammed to love, the world is transformed. Paul wrote a letter to the house church in Rome, which Carol just read. We have to remember that that letter by Paul was written to the church in Rome only 20, 25, 30 years after that same Roman government had crucified Jesus on the cross. They were living in a similar world that we live in. A Rome that was also experiencing the disintegration of civilization. And he wrote these words, "Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern, sift apart, what is the will of God for the world? What is good and acceptable and perfect?" And the word perfect in Greek can be translated as complete or whole. Holy. Our council had a retreat this at the end of August, September. And we invited Gail Miller, who is BC Conference Personnel Staff. In other words, she's the minister to the ministers on Vancouver Island. And minister to the ministers who minister to the churches. And we invited her to come because she said to us, "You have wonderful values. You've set a great vision. You have a good belief statement. But where's your mission? Where's your mission?" And the council went, "Huh?" And she said, "You need a mission." And they said, "Well, how do we figure out what our mission is?" And she said, "You need to discern. You need to listen. To listen to discern the preferred will of God for Knox." "So how do we do that?" we asked. She said, "By listening." "Who are we listening to?" we asked. She said, "Some need to go and listen to the community leaders in Parksville and listen to the concerns of people living in your community. You need to find out what's on people's hearts. So we're going to do that." She said, "And some need to go door to door in your neighborhood and knock on doors. John Knox doesn't ring bells. And ask people, what's on your heart? What are your concerns? What are you worried about?" "Some," she said, "are going into the everyday places of your lives, the grocery store, the post office, the community center, the churches, your workplace, your service group, your friendships, and listen. Really listen to the hearts of the people you encounter, and then go away and pray for the hearts you have heard. And come and share all those concerns, gather them all up, and give them to the learning keepers, the council, to the chair of council, to the vice chair of council." And she said, "Some need to be at prayer, listening to the voice of the Spirit, and becoming aware of what the Spirit is saying to Knox, because the Spirit's talking. If we're quiet enough and still enough and patient enough to listen." And she said, "And you need to listen to one another." And so on Sunday, November the 18th, we're going to be gathering after church to have a conversation that matters, a conversation about our spirituality, about what's on our hearts. In Margaret Wheatley's last book, it's called Turning to One Another, Conversations to Restore Hope to the Future. Because she said the only way that real social transformation can come is from the age-old process of people coming together in conversation about what really matters. And all of us are being invited to listen to the Word of God, to immerse ourselves in an ancient sacred text that has the power to transform our hearts and begin a reformation of a life and a world that holds within it the power to liberate, the power to renew our minds, the power to fill our hearts with compassion for ourselves and for each other. And so we're going to be asking all of us to practice through this time. And we think it's going to go a time until January, maybe February. We don't know when we'll know what our mission is. And in that time of listening, of contemplating, of listening to each other, of listening to the community, of listening to God, of listening to our friends, we will know. And so we're being asked to listen to the Word of God. And so we're being asked to do Lectio Divina. And so Lois Grill, our Vice Chair of Council, has put together an explanation of what Lectio Divina is, the divine word, the word that transforms us, and a list of scriptures that Gail Miller set for council. They're all call scriptures. And then I added some community scriptures of what it means to be the church, what it means to live with one another in harmony. For us to be reflecting on those, to be chewing over those words, to allow those words to reform our hearts. And so I'm going to begin today to start with Lectio Divina with you so that we can practice this spiritual practice of Lectio Divina. So we've got the word here. And we made the word so heavy that we can't carry it around with us. So we have to take it into us. We have to let it speak to our hearts. We do Lectio Divina every week in Bible study. And in those 2 years of doing that, it's the most amazing group of people. And we share our stories and our hearts with one another. The word has transformed us, I think. I know it's transformed me. So I'm going to read the scripture again that Carol read, but I'm going to ask you just allow the Spirit of God to speak one word to you, or even two or three words, whatever, and that's the words that you're going to take home with you and are going to live in you. Because those are the words, whatever word you hear, it may not even be in here, whatever word you hear, or words you hear, or a phrase that you hear, is the word that you need for your life right now. The word that you are needing most to strengthen you, to encourage you, to deepen you, to renew you. Let's listen for your words that you need. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, each according to the measure of faith that God has designed. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The encourager in encouragement. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hold fast to what is good. Resist what is evil. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. What word or words came to you? Pardon? Discern. What else came to you? Thank you, Ian, for that.
Listen.
Genuine. Compassion. Peaceably. Not conforming. Persevere in prayer. Living in a world that we are living in, these words are healing to our souls. These are holy words, words reminding us of what it means to be whole, words reminding us who we are and whose we are and why we are here. Let these words live in you this week. Live out of them. Let them live through you. May you become those living, holy words. And I leave you with this statement by Rumi. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself.